I've got Voter Kellerman on the line. How are you, Voter?
Hi, Cindy. I'm very well. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I was just talking about your amazing history, of course, that when you were in South Africa, of course, you weren't there a lot when you were traveling more than most people. And now you've gone to Berlin, Shanghai, Delhi, New York, Sydney, and you just did something in Dubai recently, didn't you?
Yes, we performed at the Dubai Expo. It's this huge expo with where 191 countries are exhibiting, and many millions of people visiting. And so we represented South Africa at the South African Pavilion, and we
wow.
So it was such a beautiful experience to be performing again after so long. You know, after like a drought of performance.
Absolutely. And I was just mentioning, you are almost always on the road. And, I mean, you've done some land-breaking performances. I mean, landmark performances that actually blow my mind. I mean, you've done some things in India that were with, of course, your friend and mine, Ricky Kesh, which was a huge one. But
yeah.
But then you did the wonderful awards and that tribute to Nelson Mandela, which was massive in South Africa.
Yeah.
And now you've got another. Is this what number album is your new age album, Pangea? Did you pronounce Pangea?
Pangea.
Pangea.
Yes. Pangea.
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 Yeah. With David Ackerson. And this is on the ballot for submitted for the Grammys in the New Age category. And you have some wonderful friends that we know on there, Shay Delgado and other. Ione.
Ione is singing on there, yes.
as well, and others. Yeah. So this was an interesting idea because it's in a time when the earth is going through major changes, and you go back to the origins on this, the very origins of the world in a way, right?
Yeah, Pangea was a supercontinent that existed before it split up in the present arrangement. So the symbolic nature of the music is that we're calling for a united world, like, millions of years ago, we were all one continent. So we're kind of calling for the unity in these divided times, and also a culture of valuing the earth and nature. That's basically the sort of theme of the album.
And I love that because it ties in the full circle we've kind of come to, because the world is changing, the oceans are changing. We're looking at more problems than ever as far as the world's climate, and the earth is having to, again, as far as humanity, to reset, and probably actually, as far as the lands, has to reset as well from what we've done with the climate changes. So taking that all into account with the creation of this music, how do you address that huge subject on this beautiful album?
Yeah, you know, it's instrumental, mostly instrumental music, the album, but I feel that with instrumental music, you can often say more than words can portray, because even words are limiting in what you can actually express. So it becomes a kind of a very deep kind of sense and energy and wholesomeness and positivity and, kind of that we want to send out. So it's kind of a subtle, we don't express it in words, but we express it in sounds and heartfelt expression, musical expression.
With a lot of love, I mean, I've had a chance to see you perform, and of course you have a beautiful video that's very artistic out with this as well, that people can see that. It's kind of like art actually being created with it.
Yeah, we've got this the song Desert Moon, which is kind of a very exotic melody. So I found this amazing sand artist, and she paints with sand on the screen. So we come, and she's actually a Russian lady who lived in Vienna, and So I sent her the music, and she was like, I'd love to create some art around it. So we made the music video and combined our playing with her art, and we just put it out on YouTube.
I'm glad to hear that. I thought it was actually an animation that was creating it, but she was actually creating sand art with that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's pretty amazing.
It is.
It's mind-blowing.
You know, and you have a lot of lovely videos if people go to YouTube. Is it best to put in Wouter Kellerman?
Yeah.
That's Wouter Kellerman, correct?
That's right. Perfect. Yeah. I've got a lot of videos and a very active YouTube channel. You know, these days people love to consume music partly visually. So it just it really helps to have a music video to communicate your musical ideas. Normally in film, the music supports the visual part, but in our music videos, the visual part supports the music.
Well, I remember, I've been in music long enough, when I remember MTV began, I'm going, well, what is this? All of a sudden, you have to have a music video if you're doing, MTV. And now it's kind of come full, it's dropped for a while, and MTV kind of dropped out of sight, not as much, but now it's back to that. And it's like, well, wait a second. Now it's gone back to the fact that you almost have to have a music video if you've got a piece. So, I mean, I appreciate when it's done with the art. I mean, it's almost like you've got to budget it into the whole process of creating an album now, isn't it?
It is. But the surprising thing about this music video is that everybody contributed their time for free.
My gosh.
So the actual video cost us zero.
My gosh, that's amazing.
Well,
you've given your life to wonderful causes, Wouter, and people know that. You've done so much in South Africa, and really, I mean, in a country that really needs inspiration, you brought that, and you were able to play at the soccer game, my gosh, at the FIFA Soccer World Cup closing ceremony to a global audience of 700 million people in 2010?
Yeah, that's the World Soccer World Cup, and it was held in South Africa in 2010. And it was just an incredible opportunity to be there and probably to perform at the closing ceremony, you know, before the final game of the Soccer World Cup. So, I mean, and for a flutist to get that opportunity is so unlikely, because it's always the vocalist that seem the that have the limelight, you know. So it was such a special moment, you know, for me personally. It was a dream come true, you know.
Were you nervous? Item. Come on, you had to be. Were you nervous?
Oh, very, very. Because actually, I was the most nervous because, you know, on these big on these big events, you pre-record your parts because the stadium is, there's so much slapback in the stadium that you can't hear yourself, and so you don't have proper monitoring or anything. So the Wednesday before the Sunday of the final, we went into the studio to pre-record, and being South Africa, South Africa is kind of a very spontaneous culture. You know, kind of free and easy and spontaneous. So they didn't even send me the song before that Wednesday morning. So basically, I arrive at the studio, and I have to record this song that's going to be heard by 700 million people in the next few minutes.
Wow.
And I've never heard it before.
Wow.
That was very stressful.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so
I can't even imagine.
I had to ask. I was so stressed because to think that whatever you play now is going to be broadcast to so many people, I got, fortunately, the producer there is absolutely brilliant, and he helped me form the part. And then vocalist, it was kind of a We Are the World kind of piece. Where everybody gets their their minute in the limelight. And while the vocalists were doing their part, I quickly went into my car and put the CD on and practiced the part until I had it nice and polished, and then I went into the studio and recorded it. And so it was fine in the end. But yeah.
Amazing. And then you did the long road of the Nelson Mandela Day in South Africa for a stadium of 80,000 people and a huge television audience. And you did that fantastic. I play it on my other station, KUOS. I play that wonderful tribute you did with the Sawada Choir for Nelson Mandela. It's a landmark piece. It is an anthem with the beautiful choir, and that was a huge production because with the choir and your flute playing and everything, that was quite a bit to produce as well.
Yeah, that was like that year aged me a decade. because it was the choir and symphony orchestra, you know, and we had to get it all recorded. And the South African symphony orchestras are not really recording orchestras; they're performing orchestras, and it's a whole different thing for a symphony orchestra to record with the headsets and things. So it was pretty challenging to get it done, and we had to do quite a lot of post production to fix the problems. You know, but it was all good. It eventually
it came out beautiful. I have a very dear friend I've never met. We met online and through different social media. I think mainly Facebook sites. But after my sister Pamela passed away last July actually, I wrote some poems for her spirit was speaking to me and. He read them, and he wrote, he lives in South Africa. He's with the White Robe Monks of St. Benedict in South Africa, and he likes to write music besides serving as a, he does mass and serves there in their services, and he's a priest, and he wrote this music, and the music was so beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and I had lovely arrangements made from Stephen Melillo, who I'd never worked with before, but my gosh, he's a genius. Do you know Stephen Melillo?
Yes, I have also mostly on Facebook. I've been in contact with him over the years.
He's got over 1,000 arrangements and orchestrational pieces, and he did an amazing job with arrangements. And then I got Darlene Coldenhaven to sing it, and that's on the ballot under Christian Contemporary Album. I've never submitted under Christian before, but my sister was very Christian, and it still has a, I think, more spiritual aspect because it really was about.
Yeah, I listened to it the other day. It's absolutely stunning.
Oh, thank
you. Absolutely
beautiful.
And Darlene sang so beautifully on there.
Yes.
It was, you know, it was pretty. She's such a versatile singer.
Yes.
You know, she's really incredible, and it's very emotive. You know, the words and the arrangement and the singing, the vocalization comes together beautifully. It's a very emotional thing to listen to.
I thank you very much. I have to say again, I being on Maui, I have to work internationally again. I don't know if I'll ever meet or get to South Africa. You know. I sent a package of the albums to him in South Africa. It took 3 months for him to get, you know, I mean, forget about the time and getting through customs and stuff, right? But it took 3 months to get the albums there. You know, it's like, wow.
You're actually lucky it arrived. We always say, because, you know, the post is not very reliable there, so a lot of the items get stolen on the way.
He was worried. So. Yeah, he thought that may have happened. I've heard that. So South Africa went through, like many places, it went through a huge, huge renaissance of the unfortunate, another wave of COVID a while back. In fact, unfortunately, Father Karel did get Karel Piet van Eden. I guess there's a whole Dutch community in South Africa I wasn't aware of, but he's part of the Dutch community. And he got it COVID, but, you know, there was also nothing happening. So you left South Africa. I think for a while you were in Australia. Did you go to Australia and work for a while there or just live there and kick back during COVID?
Actually what happened, my kids are in Australia and the rest of my family is in South Africa. So I just We were actually touring through India just as COVID started. And so after that, I went straight to Australia to visit the kids. And then the pandemic took hold. And then I got stuck there. But it's, I mean, I love being stuck with my kids. And so it was really nice. They've grown up already. So it was really lovely to spend that time with them. And I couldn't move. You know, I couldn't, there was no point moving anyway, so because nothing was happening anywhere else.
What, you know? What city, what, where were you in Australia?
In Melbourne.
Oh, Melbourne. Melbourne, nice.
Yeah.
So there was a lockdown. Did you even get to travel to other places in Australia, or did you have to stay in just Melbourne?
No, I had to, the Melbourne lockdown was, you have to stay in your home 23 oh. hours of the
not,
day.
Not.
Yeah, for 250 days.
Not. Oh, my. Yeah. I hadn't heard that.
It was, it's completely ridiculous the way. And in that remaining hour, you only allow, you can go for a walk and you can go shopping for groceries or medicine, but you're not allowed more than 3 miles from your house. If you get caught. You know, it's more than 3 miles from your house. They give you a huge fine.
That was also a super long time. How long did you have to do that kind of quarantine?
250 days.
That's huge. Can't even imagine. Wow.
Not all of the 250 days was a super strict lockdown, but they were, even if it's not that strict, maybe you were allowed to leave the house for 2 hours of a day or.
Wow.
You know, it's the same thing, basically. So it's a world record, the world's longest lockdown. And, I think,
were you able to work via Zoom and do your work on this latest album while you were there with the
American we created this whole album while I was there, because David and I worked... just via the internet, he would send me files. I would record. I've got my whole studio there set up, and so it was actually fine, and it was actually a luxury to be home and spend time focusing on just creating the music instead of traveling and touring and fitting it in between.
Well,
so kind of for creativity, it was actually great, you know.
Well, I think you're traveling almost more than anyone I know, and I know a lot of people traveling, but you had a very intensive travel schedule, and South Africa is a long ways from a lot of places, and you were traveling long distances.
Exactly. I actually had a look in the 10 years before pandemic. In those 10 years, I did 100 overseas trips.
My gosh.
Which is just actually ridiculous. So I've actually, the pandemic was quite nice for me, that I realized how nice it is not to travel.
So there's a weird twist to the story from being there in this beautiful, quiet, although rather strict quarantine for 253 days. Somehow you've landed up in Las Vegas. Tell me, in about 4 minutes I've got left, how that happened.
Well, at the moment, Australia is still pretty much, they've opened up, but there's very little life happening at the moment, and in South Africa also very little happening. So my only chance to earn to make some income is in the US, and that everything is open here. I'm so impressed with, and especially Las Vegas is bustling and there's so much happening. So this is an opportunity to at least earn some money after nearly 2 years of performing drought, because usually we make most of our income from live performances. So it's been a very tough time financially.
Las Vegas, I have my son-in-law there, and I know there's a lot of music that has been developing, sometimes even more music, I think, than L.A., and yet even the Latin Grammys are coming up in a week, on November 16th? No, I forget. Very soon, mid-November.
Yeah.
So some of your friends, including Kenya, will be there. Because she's got a nominated project. But what do you do for gigs there? How do you get your gigs?
Well, you know, I know quite a few people here, and I just put the word out and say, well, if anybody needs me to record, or if there's a band playing somewhere and they need some flute, and just put the word out, and I just, you know, kind of the work trickles in, and it's very low key, and I keep on recording, you know, spending time on my own project, but at least I can earn some income in the process, which is a very very valuable.
So who have you gotten to play with, and what kind of groups have you played with since you've been in Las Vegas?
You know, I'm pretty versatile, so I do anything, but it's not nothing major.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just little small gigs.
Uh-huh.
And and it's always just like a one evening standing in to do something here, or recording, someone needs some flute on the recording.
Wow. And there's some studios there that you can go record in that are good.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. I never had thought of that. Isn't that interesting? That's the way L.A. used to be in the day, but not so much. And I think a lot is happening in Las Vegas. Where are you staying?
Well, I'm just off the Strip. So it's quite central.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot going on there. Did you hear that they're talking about doing an underground tunnel to get people around? I mean, it's going to be crazy. And now, of course, they've got the Allegiant Stadium there with the Raiders doing really good. There is a lot going on in Las Vegas, and there's a lot of flights in and out of there to everywhere. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I was speaking to the cab drivers and the Uber drivers, and they say it's actually much busier than before the pandemic.
Interesting. I would not have guessed that. I would not have guessed that. Well, what a treat. You know, we never get to talk, and it's been maybe a year or two since we've spoken. I haven't seen you since the Grammys a couple of years ago, but I guess the Grammys are happening. You're planning to go this year?
Yes, I'd love to. I'm just seeing how my plans turn out. I've definitely put it out there, and would love to come. It just depends on, you know, logistics.
Well, you might get nominated, so then, you know.
Then I'd have to come. Let's hope so. Fingers crossed for both of us.
Well, listen, it's wonderful talking to you. People can go to your website at?
It's voterkellerman.org. Or the best thing is just to go either on Facebook or on YouTube especially, and just find me, Voter Kellerman, Voter, Voter Kellerman, Kellerman.
You got a very good Facebook site and a lot of wonderful things you're doing. So thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you, my friend. We'll have to try to connect again soon.
Thank you, Cindy, for having me. I really appreciate all the fantastic work you're doing.
I appreciate you too. Much love. Aloha.
Aloha.